You can turn to Romans chapter 7 to begin with. We're going to see today, Christ-likeness requires humbling ourselves in the Spirit. We want to live and represent Jesus Christ and present Him as the Savior. We're going to have to humble ourselves. It's not always an easy thing to do, but it's the right thing to do. You want the power of Jesus Christ. Humble yourself to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God in us. He is our constant source of power. We should turn to Him moment by moment and turn to Him in joy. Even in the tough times, turn to Him in joy. Amen? Let's go to the Lord. Father, be with us now as we open Your Word and read, discuss, think about it, Lord. Think about all You've done for us, where we've been, where we're going. Help us to get that servant's heart. We know You loved us. You loved us so much. You gave Yourself for us. And Lord, help us by Your Holy Spirit to return that love back to You through serving You, through becoming You to others, Lord, to being Your goodness to others and doing those things that would show You strong to them, Lord, that You are the God of salvation, the God of joy. Lord, be with us. Open our hearts and minds today to Your Word, to Your Spirit, to Your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Chapter 7, that's where we're going in Romans. Did I say that? Chapter 7. Last week we saw that even though we are trapped in this body of sin, that's what the Scripture calls it, this body of flesh, while alive in this world we're trapped in it, but we can still be delivered from the law of sin. Yes, there is a law, the law of sin. And with it comes death, the law of sin and death. We are delivered from the law of sin and death through faith in the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross. You probably knew that already, right? So we're reviewing things that we should know, we should put our trust in. That's where we build our faith. When believers call on Jesus for salvation, they leave the law of sin and death. It no longer applies to them. And then they come under the law of God according to the inward man. That new man, we find this in chapter 7, verse 22, where it says, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." That's our new nature that we receive when we ask the Lord to save us. And when you ask, He will do it. The inward man is that new nature, regenerated nature in believers that causes them to love and search for the Spirit-filled life with God. That's what we want to have when we're in fellowship with Jesus. We want to have that Spirit-filled life. We want to follow the Spirit and serve the Lord because of the great thing He did for us, redeeming us from an eternity of judgment. Anybody want to be there in that situation? No, nobody wants to be there. And if those people out there knew, they wouldn't want to be there either. That's why we have to make them aware. We have to be the voice like John the Baptist that we talked about in Bible study this morning. One out in the wilderness crying for the way of the Lord and to follow Him. That's part of our assignment. The believer's new nature, referred to in the next verse, 23, as the law of my mind. The law of my mind. That's the inward man. It is called this because after a believer is born again, they are able to recognize and agree with the Holy Spirit, who's leading them in a new way. He's taking their spirit in a new way, a new direction, and He's leading them to build the character of Christ in their life. Yes, to become like Jesus. Did you know that's your assignment? To become more and more like Jesus. To show His love, His mercy, His care. Give His gospel message. That's what we are to do as believers. We agree with the Holy Spirit. And we make moral choices in our mind that line up with the mind of Christ. That's what we should be doing as believers. We should have this mind in us that was in Christ Jesus. Well, what was that mind? Obedience. Obedience to the Father. A lot of times when we hear the word obedience, it brings up thoughts of, oh boy, this is going to be hard and be drudgery. But it's not that way with the Lord, because He empowers us with His Holy Spirit to do what He wants us to do, to be obedient. That's why we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us, because we want to serve the Lord and we want to do it in a way that is pleasing to Him. Amen? We serve the Lord and make moral choices which line up with the mind and character of Christ. Compare this with Romans in chapter 7, verse 11. Go back to verse 11. And it says, reckon, think, believe yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. You no longer have to serve sin. You're free of that. Believe it in your mind. Believe it in your heart. Reckon yourself to be dead to sin. You're finished with it. So you can move forward in Christ. You are dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we can live that life, the life of Christ, by following the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to follow the mind of Christ. And then also in verse 14 in Romans 7. This is God speaking to us. It's like, here's your guarantee. I told you before, I'm telling you again. And He tells us again in verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion. It shall not have authority. It shall not have control over you. For you are not under the law. Now you are under grace. You're under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself, shed His blood, gave His body, freed you from the law of sin that lives in your flesh. Oh, it's still there. It hasn't gone anywhere. But your mind and your heart and your spirit have. They have gone to live a life pleasing the Lord, pleasing Christ. You are not under the law, but under grace. Maybe you need to just say it. I'm under grace. Go ahead, say it. I'm under grace. Sin has no dominion over me. I'm free from sin. I think maybe we ought to stand up every morning and shout that so everyone can hear it, ourselves especially. Now, you've probably heard the saying, if you're going to talk the talk, you better walk the walk. Yeah, you've heard it, right? This is the walk that we're referring to. It's in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. It says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You should have the mind of Christ. You're following Him. You want to be like Him. You want to imitate Him. And the Holy Spirit helps you to do that. Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The most hideous way to die you can think of. What is this passage really saying to us? Have you figured it out? It's kind of a mind-boggling conundrum. You have to really dig in. This passage is telling us that Christ, being God, did not feel his deity was forcefully taken from him, or that he was forced to become a human bondservant. Instead, according to verse 7, Christ willingly, meekly humbled himself to obey the Father's plan. Indeed, God's plan, the Godhead's plan of redemption for not just humanity, but all creation. Meekness as a virtue. That's what he was showing. Meekness. He had the power to do something different, but it wouldn't have been the right thing. So he humbled himself to obedience to the Father. In other words, he died to self to obey the Father. He died to self. He didn't do what he could have done, maybe even what he wanted to do, although we're not given that indication. No, he did what he was supposed to do in obedience to the plan of salvation for all of creation. He personally limited his power as God to redeem all of creation, most notably humanity. That was really his aim. Yes, God still wanted fellowship with us. And so he sent his Son to achieve that in all the world. Believers, the born again, you and I who claim to be in Christ, that's us. Believers are called to imitate this same way as we live out our life in Christ. We must reckon our old nature dead, buried in Christ, in his death, and our new nature alive and humbly obedient to Christ through the power of his Holy Spirit. We were raised not just to life, but a life of obedience to God, and empowered to do that by the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it on our own. I'm sure we've all tried in our own way to do it. And pretty soon you come to the conclusion that I can't do this. I need help. And the Lord says, call on the Holy Spirit. He is your help. He's your power. He's our way to humbly obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. If you hadn't known this before, here's your wake-up call. This is what we are called to in believing in Christ. We are called to die to our old carnal life, the way we used to do things, following the world, following the flesh. No, put all of that to death. That selfish person we were should now be dying and dead, because now we are in Christ. He came in, and now we should be following him. Amen?
Amen.
That's right. That brings us to chapter 8. You see, the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit has been using him to bring us up to this point. He's given us how we got to this point, how sin came into the world and how we fell and how our flesh hangs on to it and doesn't want to give it up. A flesh is very selfish. It loves what it wants to love and it doesn't want to give it up. I'm sure you can think of some things, maybe are thinking of some things that you'd like to have, but know you've had to give them up to honor the Lord in your new life. And that's okay. You keep calling on the Holy Spirit to empower you to do that. Pretty soon you'll develop a new routine, a new way of life in Christ. That's what He wants you to do. So in chapter 8, verse 1 of the book of Romans, we're going to hear what we should do now. Because you heard the truth of the gospel of Christ, and you obeyed the Holy Spirit. You called out to Jesus to save you, to bring you out of that old life, because you felt the need to come to the Lord, because something just wasn't right. It was missing. Something wasn't there that you needed. And so you heard the gospel, you obeyed the Holy Spirit, you called on Jesus. Your sins, all of your sins, every single one, washed away. Washed away. All forgiven by Jesus Christ. You have peace with God. Did you know that? You have peace with God. When things upset you, when things don't go right, you should just think, I have peace with God. Why should I let this bother me? The worst thing that could ever happen to me isn't going to happen because I have peace with God. I'm going to be with Him someday in glory. Why should I let this bother me? See, go to that place of peace. It's there for you. The Lord has given it there. You have peace. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8 in chapter 8. The first one says this. Oh, this is all make you jump up and shout. There is therefore, because of what has gone before, because of what Jesus did for us, there is therefore now, right now, and forevermore, no condemnation to you. You will not come under condemnation. You will not have to stand before Christ as He says, depart from me, I never knew you. Amen, brother. You have accepted Jesus as your Savior. Nothing can change that now. You've called on the Lord. You have Him. He is in you. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Peace with God. That's what you have. Peace with God. If you have peace with God, why not apply that to everybody else? And be in peace with everybody else. Use the Holy Spirit to convince you that you can do that. I can have peace with others. I don't have to be irritated. I can just give it to the Lord. Peace with God. At the moment you cried out to Jesus to save you from sin and accepted Christ as your Savior, you were no longer under condemnation. It was done right then. You are freed. No condemnation. Praise the Lord. Now you are in Christ. You are in Christ who, those of you who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's not a condemnation. That's not an addition to receiving salvation. It's not conditional if you walk in the Spirit or not. The Scripture doesn't say, call on the name of the Lord and walk in the Spirit and you will be saved. Doesn't say that, does it? It says, call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Walking according to the Spirit is lining your mind up with the mind of Christ and being obedient. That doesn't happen until you are saved. You can't walk in obedience to get saved, because that would be something you would do. You would do that work to get saved. That has no place in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's all about Him and His glory and His mercy and His grace and His goodness to all of us. We can't earn it in any specific way. As long as a believer follows the Spirit, imitating Christ, here's what this verse is saying. As long as you're following the Spirit, imitating Christ, you will not suffer condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And so, if you're following Christ by the Holy Spirit, you can't be under condemnation. Because you are free from the law of sin and death. You're no longer going to be condemned to eternal death in hell. That's not on your menu anymore. That's gone. But that doesn't free you to do whatever you want to do. You're still going to live a life of obedience to Jesus Christ. Because what will happen is this. In your disobedience, you will be separated from the power of the Holy Spirit. And you won't have the power to walk with Christ. And you'll have to regain that before you have the power again. Well, how do you do that?
Repent.
Absolutely. You repent, confess, call out for forgiveness. Will He restore you and forgive you? Or forgive you and restore you, probably better in that order. Of course He will. Because what did Jesus say? I'll never leave you or forsake you. He didn't say, I will never discipline you. See, when you step out of the power of the Holy Spirit, you're on your own. We need to remember that. We're walking in our strength when we're not following the Holy Spirit. You might want to keep that in mind. Verse 2 says this, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. I now have the Spirit of Christ in me, giving me life." That means my forgiveness is dependent on the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Do you see your name in there anywhere? Do you see humanity in there? No, you're depending on the Holy Spirit. You have life in the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, who made you free from the law of sin and death. Doesn't apply to you anymore. That means my forgiveness is in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which is based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You want everlasting life? You must have faith in Jesus Christ. You must be, as Jesus said, you must be born again. Otherwise, you're not there. Our faith in Christ's work of salvation, done through the strength of His sinless flesh. No sin in Jesus. His flesh was different from our flesh. No sin. So it's done through the strength of His sinless flesh in the law of the Spirit of life in Him, Christ Jesus. Christ died in the flesh, did He not? But it was His flesh. It wasn't like human flesh. He died in His flesh, a perfect, sinless flesh that became the sacrifice to redeem us. Without that sacrifice, we're lost. But He did it for us. He did it in obedience to the Father to save us and buy us back from sin. Buy us back from God's condemnation. For without the salvation, the redemption of Jesus Christ, we're still under condemnation. Thank God that the Holy Spirit drew us into believing in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, that is human flesh. It's weak through the flesh. God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Since God's law could not save us because of the weakness of our flesh, we can't keep the law. It only takes a thought to be a lawbreaker. Did you know that? Did you realize that? Just a thought, and you're out in the cold. God's law couldn't save us because of the weakness of our flesh. We couldn't obey. We couldn't keep the law. He sent His Son, though, in the likeness of sinful flesh, yet with no sin. No sin in the Messiah's flesh, which allowed Christ and Christ alone to condemn sin in our flesh. Christ did this by completely fulfilling all of the law of God. He fulfilled the law in our place. And then He took the condemnation that was meant for us in our place. Verse 4. He did that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, because of Christ's sacrifice, believers, the born again, and they have the capability to live in righteousness, in sinlessness. You have that capability. Spiritually, through our faith in the work of Jesus Christ, we have been declared righteous, declared sinless by God because of our faith in the work of Jesus Christ. Our job while here in the flesh is to walk according to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit to demonstrate the fulfillment of God's law in us. His righteousness and sinlessness. Jesus said He came to fulfill the law of God, not abolish it. It's still there. We're still under the law in that respect. And what's good about the law? Well, it gives us some guidelines on how to relate to one another, how to deal with one another. But it's no longer required to keep it so we can have eternal life with Jesus Christ. That requirement has been set aside. To realize this capability, we must walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We must walk in the Spirit to be humble and to humble ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We can't even walk in the Holy Spirit humbly unless we accept His power in our life and follow what Jesus did. He humbled Himself. He gave up His throne in glory. We need to follow that and imitate Him and get off our throne and let Him have it. Amen? To realize this, we must walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. We must humble ourselves to the Holy Spirit. It's a challenging life. It's very easy to get off track. It was challenging even for the Apostle Paul. Listen to what he wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. I do not count myself to have apprehended the full life of Christ. I haven't apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press forward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We can't keep thinking of our sin and the things we did wrong. We have to leave that behind. We need to focus on the Lord and the Holy Spirit and the power that's there. We need to focus on the good things I can do, the good things I can share with others, the example I can be in Jesus Christ. That's why I follow Jesus and walk in the Spirit. I want to be that example. Do you want to be that example? Of course you do. And so you must humble yourself. It's not easy, but you can do it. And sometimes you'll slip and fall. But you can gain forgiveness. Repent. Ask forgiveness. And keep going. Keep going. Keep pressing forward. Pressing toward the goal. Don't give up. Ever. And while you're doing this, keep your eyes on the Lord. Always keeping your eyes on the Lord and His example. Reject the enemy's fiery darts. You ever get negative thoughts about things? Rebuke that stuff. Live in the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. Get in your Scripture. Read the Bible. Get the Word in you. Pray. Ask for help. Pray for strength. And press toward the goal of the upward call. Where are we trying to get to? We're trying to get to that relationship with Christ. That perfect relationship. No, we're not going to get it here because we're still living in this flesh. We're still dealing with the world. But press, press, press forward. Don't give up. Then the Holy Spirit, He gives us a checkpoint in verse 5. Kind of like, how are you doing with this? You know what you need to do. How are you doing with it? He says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We're not naive. We know we're born again, but we know we think about things of the flesh. We see what's going on in the world. Sometimes we want some of those things, even though they may not be right for us. What God wants for us is right for us, and that is to follow Jesus Christ. How does one act when their mind is set on the flesh? When they're being selfish and self-centered? Now ask yourself, how do I handle my flesh? It's easy to think about others, not so easy to bring it home and do that self-check and see, how am I walking in the Spirit? How am I being an encouragement to my brothers and sisters? Check yourself out. As Bill Engvall would say, here's your sign. It works the same way when living and walking according to the Spirit. You're going to see the things of the Spirit. That's what you want to see. That's when you know you're on the right track. When you're walking in the Spirit, His fruit comes out and you display that. God's goodness and love. That's where we want to be, isn't it? Of course it is. Verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So when you put your desires on the things of the world, that is death to your spiritual life. It's not death to your eternal life. You have Jesus Christ. You're in Christ. You're not going to lose your salvation, but you're going to lose your walk. You're going to lose your testimony. People are going to look at you and they're going to make judgments about you that you don't like and you don't want. So don't desire those things of the world. Don't be carnally minded. Be spiritually minded so you can display the fruit of the Spirit. You can be the example to others that you want to be. You can speak about the Lord Jesus Christ in confidence and encourage others in faith. Amen? We are talking about those who are in Christ Jesus. That's us. We still have to deal with the world. We still have to deal with the flesh, but we have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us do that. How do you access the Holy Spirit? Did you hear me say it earlier? We have to get off our throne. Humble ourselves. Admit that we're off track and get back on it by asking the Holy Spirit to start guiding us again. Forgive me Forgive me. Get me back on the right track. And He will. That's His love. That's the way God loves us. When we cry out to Him, that's how He answers us. He gets us back on track. He wants us to be honest with Him. You know you can't lie to God anyway. So why bother? To be carnally minded is death to walking in the Spirit. Not to death to your salvation. Here's where repentance, turning back to the Lord, comes in. Get back to the spiritual mind, the mind of Christ, which is in you. Get back to that. And peace through repentance. You said you wanted peace, right? Get it back. Ask for it. Turn away from the world and get back to being separated to the mind of Christ. Verse 7 says this, inferring we need to do this, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind is fighting against the Holy Spirit. It doesn't agree, it's never going to agree. That's why it has to be put to death. You have to die to self. You have to put it on the altar and leave it there. And that's not easy, but it's something we need to do. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Only when they answer the call of the Holy Spirit do they begin to walk with God. Operating by the flesh puts a saint in direct opposition to the Holy Spirit. When a child of God isn't feeling the peace and love of Christ, it's time to take that self-check. Take that self-check. Show me, Lord. Show me, Holy Spirit, where am I going wrong here? I need to know because I want to please You. I want to live for You. Help me. Bring me back. Bring me back. Then go to verse 9, down through 10. Here's the best news of all. If you've called on Jesus Christ, you are in Him. He is in you. The Holy Spirit is there leading you. And so all of these things that could happen following the carnal mind aren't going to happen to you. Why? Verse 9. The Lord tells you, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You have power over the flesh by yielding to the Holy Spirit, humbling yourself to the Holy Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, can you go back to that time where you called on Jesus to save you? I can. I was at a summer camp for kids. I was about 10 years old. And I answered the call of the Holy Spirit. I got up and went forward. Do you remember that time where you called on the Lord Jesus Christ? If you can't, then do it again. Call on Him again. He won't mind. He won't mind a bit. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. That's why it's important to make sure. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead. It no longer has control. The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Humble yourself. Give the Spirit control. Walk in the Spirit. Be pleasing to the Lord. Display the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, praise the Lord. You have the power. You have the opportunity. Humble yourself. Call on the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. Display the fruit. Tell others about Jesus, and that will finish off your service. Yes, we're called to go and tell. Those are the things you need to do. Maybe you haven't been doing them. Maybe you've been doing things that you wanted to do, and you've kind of let some other spiritual things, walking in the Spirit, slide. Well, right now is the time to put that under the blood of Jesus. Repent and come back. Ryan, would you come up, please? Do what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. Do what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. If you need to repent some things and get back on track, do it. If you are walking in the Spirit, being successful, praise God. Do that. There are successful Christians who walk in the Spirit. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we've heard your message. We've heard what you have for us in your word. And Lord, you have for us strength and victory through the power of the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of his body, his sinless body, which he gave. And then, Lord, if that wasn't enough, you gave us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to lead us through this life, to call on, to get the power to do those things that are right, because we can't do it in and of ourselves. Help us to have your mind in us, Lord. Help us to follow your Spirit and have the victory here. And Lord, help us to share with others how we walk in victory. It's only because of you and your sacrifice and the Holy Spirit you've given us. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you glory because you have saved us and you walk with us. You didn't just save us and leave us. You walk with us. Praise the Lord. Lord, if there be any who aren't sure or any who have doubt, Lord, let them come forward and we'll pray together and we'll get the victory. In Jesus Christ, whose name we pray. Amen.